Tailgate Talks is brought to you by OpenDriveway.com. Looking for parking near campus shouldn't feel like a scavenger hunt. And if you're a homeowner, that empty driveway could be earning you extra cash. That's where Open Driveway comes in. Open Driveway connects students and fans with homeowners near campus, making parking easy, affordable, and local. Simply go to OpenDriveway.com, browse available driveways close to where you need to be, reserve a spot for as little or as long as you need, and get on with your day. If you're a homeowner, listing your driveway just takes a few minutes and lets you turn underused space into meaningful income. No fuss, no hassle. Just set your price and availability, and Open Driveway takes care of the rest. So whether you're headed to class, a big game, or just need a quick place to park, join the community that's rethinking parking one driveway at a time. Park with your neighbors and start using Open Driveway today. Go to opendriveway.com to learn more, to earn more. Park smarter, not farther. What is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. We are back after the bye week. We took last week off. I was in Disney World in Orlando, so last week was a little chaotic, so we didn't have the chance to hop on the mics and record, but we're here this week to discuss the Texas Tech victory over the Utah Utes and the upcoming matchup against the Houston Cougars. We're recording on a Tuesday night this week. It is September 30th. It is almost October. And so we are excited. We've got a lot to get into. So with all of that said, let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, well, the Texas Tech Red Raiders defeated the number 16th ranked Utah Utes at the time, the number 17th ranked Texas Tech Red Raiders at that time, thanks to four turnovers from the defense, a take three in the first half from the Red Raider defense, and Will Hammond coming in late in the game after a Baron Morton injury to do the Will Hammond heroics and lead the Red Raiders to a 34-10 victory over Utah. A game that was pretty close throughout. Texas Tech scores there on our first drive of the game, and then after that, it was a defensive battle, turnovers on both sides of the ball. Utah was never really able to do anything. A couple field goals before the end of the half had it a 10-3 score. Third quarter was much of the same, not a whole lot going on. Baron Morton gets knocked out. You got to go to the backup, Will Hammond, and he comes in, and all of a sudden, the offense kind of takes off down the stretch, scores a field goal, and then three straight touchdowns to put the final touches on Utah and get the victory to move to 1-0 in conference play, 4-0 overall. Dustin, it's been a little over a week, but we think back on this one, how we feeling off after that huge victory over the Utah Utes this last Saturday ago.
Yeah, that was a really good but imperfect dominating win, if all that kind of makes sense together.
Yeah, it's a weird game to describe when you think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, dominating for sure, but on your end, kind of like personally, pretty imperfect, such with all yeah. the penalties and false starts and, you know, Howard
couple Sam's turnovers
going forwards to pass block and getting holding calls.
And, yeah.
Yeah, so like, and you know, you have some injuries and ding ups and this and that. It's like very imperfect on your end, which I think you can turn into all good things and coachable things. That you had such a dominating game against probably your best opponent this year, as the schedule is looking on the road and whatnot, and you dominated them. I was really impressed. Like, the game was so close, and then you get to that fourth quarter, and then you blew their doors off.
Yeah.
That's what took me away, is that's usually a game we lose, mm-hmm. is barely up, can't break it open to seal it on the road. In the past, we would give it up, turnover, pick six, let them score a couple times or whatever to win the game. And we should have had it, and we never took it. And in this game, we kept the foot on their chest and kept beating at them. And, Cam Dickey finally breaks one. We keep letting Dampier throw the ball, which is a great idea.
Yeah.
And you bust it open and score a ton of points. And I think that was just the most impressive thing is you dominated them all game. The scoreboard didn't show it for three quarters. And then you really busted open with 24 in the fourth to show you a score that the game was showing you the whole time.
Yeah, it felt accurate, the score did, when you watch this game. I definitely was like you watching this. It was like I oddly felt calm because just the way our defense had been playing, it was like, I'm not really scared that they're all of a sudden going to go off. I'm more scared that we're just going to like keep shooting ourselves in the foot.
Right.
And keep killing drives with more penalties. And every time it felt like you were starting to get something going, all right, here's a pick, or here's a couple penalties that are drive killers. Even kind of when Will Hammond came in at the start, there was a couple drives that got killed because of penalties and stuff like that. So it just felt like, and then you get the field goal to go 13-3, and then they go down and score a touchdown, and you're like, okay, I still feel like we're controlling this game, but this feels like one of those things like past Tech teams just can't get out of our own way, and then Utah's going to slip out of here with a victory, and instead you did the opposite of that. The defense got angry after giving up that touchdown. They just completely shut Utah down after that. The offense immediately took off. Will Hammond looked like he was in control. And all your receivers started making plays. And yeah, like you said, you rolled a 24-point fourth quarter, and all of a sudden this thing looks how the game felt for the majority of the game. I thought it was really fun. It was really fun. What are your thoughts now that we have a little time removed? How you feel in about the game, and how has it kind of like changed your perspective on this team now that we got to see them like really step up the competition and go out there and do what they did?
It's kind of one of those, we are who we thought we were getting.
Yeah.
Very much proved it on the road, hostile environment, fried rice, Eccles Stadium, whatever they call it. Caused problems, but you handled it. What really got me going was watching games this past weekend when we were on bye week and seeing a lot of teams that just looked okay, that are ranked very high. I'm like, oh man, I started making some Kool-Aid in the kitchen real quick, and Kool-Aid got a little bit taller and bigger and redder over this weekend, while after watching us a week ago and watching some of these other teams this weekend, definitely boosted my confidence a lot.
Yeah, watching, not that West Virginia is any good, but watching Utah go and just like look like a completely different team, I was like, damn, like we made that offense look like
all the
shit.
Tweets coming out all week of like Dampier being the best rated quarterback and all this stuff, and it's like, we made him look
Dustin,
like his flag football kid.
His ankle wasn't healthy, which is something they did not disclose, so that's a whole different discussion. But he looked pretty fine to me. He just looked like he had no idea what to do with the defense.
So, hold on that, since we're already into it. That was probably my favorite part of defense, their offense, how we handled him.
Yeah.
Is we didn't let him scramble around. And then late in the game, when he did drop back, even when he scrambled and when he would reset, I'd be like, oh, we're good.
Yeah.
Go ahead, let him throw. And then like one of those times is that fourth down, he does it, resets, throws. I'm like, hey, we're good. I literally said that out loud in my house with all these people around. And he throws a pick to Jacob Rodriguez.
I never was worried. The defense just looked so great, and I'm not used to watching a defense play like a quarterback like that and do what we did, containing the run. They just could never get anything going running. The only way that they were able to move the ball was breaking a few passes open every now and then. But really there, your coverage was pretty solid for the majority of the game. It was really solid defense, really good containing. I thought David Bailey and Romello Height were impactful. I thought your defensive line versus their offensive line, you won that. Wow. You won that battle.
Yes.
Which is
so
like,
much.
Which was the huge conversation going into this game, right? The two potential top 10, two first round tackles versus your defensive line that you went and got in the portal. And I thought they were significantly better in that game. Utah couldn't run the ball. And the guys were getting back there and flustering Devin Dampier. And that's exactly what they thought that they were prepared for. And you kind of went out there and you punched them in the mouth and didn't stop.
Yep, exactly.
So that's probably the most impressive thing I've seen from a Texas Tech defense in I don't know how long.
Oh, no doubt.
Like running quarterbacks are the death of us. And it was nice to see us go out there and do what we did.
Which is great because we guys got like Jalen Daniels and Sam Levitt can move a little bit. Like,
yeah,
there's a few guys on the schedule that are left that can move. And this gives you a lot more confidence in how we can handle them and not have to get out of our element and defensive scheme to do it.
Yeah, definitely increases your confidence when you have to face those quarterbacks because now you've seen what it looks like and you see that they can do a good job, that they can both contain the pass, contain the run. There really isn't a whole lot of weaknesses on the defense, and that's just really something to see. I thought they were great in that game. The offensive side of the ball, I think, is the bigger story here. Or I mean, the defense was a huge story in the success. Right. I think the offense side of the ball and what transpired on that Saturday is definitely the more interesting thing to happen. You have Baron Morton, your starter, come in. The offense with him, I thought, struggled. And I don't think it was his fault necessarily. I definitely thought his interceptions weren't great throws. But he kept the offensive line and the penalties kept ruining some of those drives for him. So I didn't think it was like a terrible Baron performance, but I also didn't think it was like the Baron performance that you needed to go in and win a road game like this. What are your thoughts on how Baron and the offense performed while he was on the field? And then we'll get into the Will Hammond side of things after that.
Yeah, I thought they were fine and filling it out. I think it was just more of the penalties that were holding you up. And really that just, it more just created like you couldn't get in a good rhythm type thing, I think is what it was. And now, what's his name? John Henry Daly, the Utah defense. Yeah. He is really good. He did cause problems. So there was that as well. But I think it was more of the penalties and rhythm thing. The thing on Baron, like we don't need Baron to be the tough hero guy anymore. Yeah. We have guys to do that now. Like we have guys like Howard Sampson and David Bailey and Cam Dickey will go put his head into somebody. Like we don't need Baron to be the big tough guy now. Go get down and save yourself.
Yeah, you got to protect yourself there. It was a tough hit that knocked him out of the game. There was a hit before that in the first half where he was just handing the ball off and he got hit pretty hard there too. So he took a couple tough blows in that game, but yeah, he needs to protect himself a little bit better. Just go down there, especially in that situation. I believe it was like already a third and long, like extremely long, and so just get down, protect yourself. You're more important being healthy than you are on the sideline. There's a couple throws I just wish he would have made, I think that was kind of the killer for me is, I thought his interceptions both kind of came at bad times. I think they were throws that he needs to be better at and not give the defenders chances to make those interceptions. I thought Coy could have been a little bit stronger fighting for the ball on that one interception, but at the same time, Baron kind of put it in a place where Coy had to adjust backwards to try to make a play on the ball. So it's just kind of...
I texted you guys about that. I thought both the interceptions were on Baron. Both were underthrown balls when... The first one, pretty much a go route. And he needs to put a little air under it, and he threw it at the back of the dude's head. And the second one was like 2 yards behind Coy as he's running to the corner.
Yeah.
Gave the defender more of a chance than Coy with one arm trying to reach back. And so like, I get people like want Coy to fight for it more, but that's a really hard move to make.
Yeah.
Going back towards the ball and back from your body and you can't get your two hands on it. Like, that's on Barron. You got to give him a better ball there.
Yeah, I was watching on my phone in Disney World, so I didn't like super catch that one great. So I wasn't sure. From my first look, it kind of looked like he could have gone and competed a little bit better. And then when I rewatched the game, I was like, ooh, yeah, it's not as good of a throw as I thought. And then like the hard part is you kind of come in and you watch Will Hammond come in later and he's just throwing dots. Like, I mean, on the money on a lot of these throws that are some pretty tough throws that he was making. And so you're seeing him just hit his receivers exactly where he needs to hit them. That is a little bit of a tough part to watch Barron miss on a couple of those and then see Will come out there and do it. But the not the conversation you want to have as you headed into the bye week is you have your backup quarterback come out and win a game like that and then get everybody talking. But what do you think about the differences between the offense when Will Hammond was on the field than when Barron was on the field? And do you think there's any real legitimacy to that conversation that some people are having?
Yeah, Will came in and played good and threw some great balls, especially had like that one over the middle, like over a linebacker. That was great touch and whatnot. But I don't think there's a competition. I think this does like fire Barron up a little more, being like, okay, now there's visual proof of a guy on my ass. I got to keep playing good and better. But I still think this offense and passing game has a much higher ceiling with Barron throwing the ball in this left switch offense than with Will Hammond at this point in Will Hammond's career. You know, Will Hammond's still really young. And so I think Barron is still more equipped to do all the things with Mac Leftwich's offense than Hammond is. And I don't think we necessarily need the run game that he gives you. I mean, we've tried to play that game before, and I don't know, we're not that big of fans of it. So I don't care as much for that part of it. I think the higher ceilings with Barron in the passing game.
Yeah, it's tough because I do think his running provides a different dimension to the offense that's really interesting and something I don't hope is used a lot. If he's out there, like we've talked about before, it's like if he's out there, it's probably because Barron's hurt. And I don't want him to get hurt because he's running the football. But I thought some of the play calling on that was pretty smart at times to keep the defense honest. And he's a much better running quarterback than I guess I realized. And so I do like that dimension that he provides. But at the same time, I do kind of believe like you that this probably lit a fire under Barron, like, all right, you know, here's the competition element of it. And I gotta believe that the coaches know it's like, hey, if Barron's not getting this done, we've got high expectations. They're willing to do what they got to do to make sure we're winning. So it's nice to see that Will Hammond can come in and do what he did and get you a victory in a tough situation like that, in a tough place to play. But I still think Barron's your guy, but it also gives you the confidence to know if Barron goes down, you know, Big 12 aspirations are still very much in play. Now, will it look different if a team has a full week to prepare for Will Hammond? The last time we saw him start didn't look amazing against Arkansas in that bowl game. Of course, different circumstances, didn't have like a lot of your best players in that, but you know, coming in a spot start like that where Utah's been game planning for Barron pretty much all week. Yeah,
that's tough.
Like that, and then you've got like this kid comes in and he's got wheels and he can zing it in there just like Barron. That's a pretty difficult matchup. So I kind of understand the Utah side of things where it kind of, all right, what do we do now? But also just thought it's a credit to your offensive line and your guys and the physicality that you had on both sides of the ball to kind of just keep wearing on this Utah team until, you know, you were the bigger, better team. You were the version of a team that everybody thought Utah was going to be, you know, that they were going to wear us out. And you were that team. Any other points you want to make on the offense or defense while we're on it?
I don't think so.
The bad part of the game that you mentioned, the shooting ourselves in the foot part of the game, penalties. You were not good in the penalty department. You had 14 for 122 yards. You gave them a free football field worth of penalties on the road. That's not great. But like you said, you were kind of controlling this game So maybe this is learning, but any fears that you have because of these, the penalties that crept in and seemed to be a problem and seemed to be kind of a growing problem, like from game to game, it kind of seems like they're growing, or do you think this was just some false starts and we got to figure out some snap count stuff and then maybe that will be all right?
Yeah, I think it's way more fixable type stuff. Now, if we get, you know, three more games into this and it's still a, you know, 9, 10, 11 penalty type game, yeah, and half of them or more are false starts, all right, maybe we just have some bad habits. But I think right now it's a fixable thing. That's why I said, like, having this bye week, one, after a really tough physical game, two, hey, we can't be giving up 120 yards of offense and ruining 14 plays.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, I think that was great coaching, and some guys have to do, and it helps us, you know. I mean, I don't expect Houston to be a raucous environment, but in a few weeks when we go to Arizona State, that one will be. And how do we respond there?
Yeah, it's definitely a learning experience, but to me, it just makes me feel more confident in this team that we're probably not going to have that bad of a performance penalty-wise again, I hope. And the way that you still dominated that game despite all that, you know, makes me feel pretty good. I would like to see us, you know, I believe if we clean up the false starts, that penalty number is going to look a lot less. You know, the other penalties, I think, were okay penalties. I mean, a couple pass interferences where you got there just a little bit too early.
Yeah.
You're gonna have a hold every now and then. That's not stuff to just completely.
And you don't need to be pass blocking moving forward to get a hold.
Yeah, that would make me mad. But to me, you know, the penalty yards discrepancy between the two teams isn't super accurate because the biggest penalty of the game was probably the one of the two on Utah where they had the illegal man downfield that nullified the big touchdown play that they had. Because that's a huge play, because at the time that would have been 7-7. And instead, you know, you end up forcing a punt because of that, get the ball back, keep them scoreless at that time. Who knows where the game goes at that point. If they get a tie game, get the crowd real into it and all that, maybe you still end up beating them like you did. But that was a huge penalty at the time for a team that only committed, I think, two in the game.
Yep.
I'm on the wrong snap button. Yeah, two turnovers for 10 yards. So that's not a super accurate, you know, 5 yards on that one penalty, but it really wiped away like a 60 plus yard touchdown.
Yep.
Some stats from the game for you. Will Hammond, your leading passer on the day, going 13 of 16 for 169 yards, two touchdown passes. Baron Morton, 12 of 19 for 142 yards, two interceptions. Rushing led by Cameron Dickey, 13 carries for 67 yards, two touchdowns, including the impressive breakaway one there that kind of iced the game at the end there in the fourth quarter. Jacoby Williams had 43 yards on the ground and also 71 yards through the air, had that big play on that first drive on a 3rd and 10 that we was able to take it all the way down the field, set you up for your first touchdown. Impressive play and moves by him. Reggie Virgil led you receiving, 72 yards and a touchdown. Caleb Douglas had 68 yards. He had some really nice catches for you. Terrence Carter found himself in the end zone once. Coy Aiken had a few, 3 catches for 31 yards, so good for them. Defensive side of the ball, Jacob Rodriguez led the way, 11 total tackles. He did a little bit of everything. 5 solo tackles, 4 fumble, interception, just doing all the things that you expect from Jacob Rodriguez to do. defense totaled 4 total turnovers. Bryce Pollock, Jacob Rodriguez both had interceptions. Jacob Rodriguez forced the fumble as well as Ben Roberts. So lots of stats on the defensive side of the ball. Lots of good things happening on that side of the ball. Our tailgate bets recap, the spread was Texas Tech plus 3.5. Both me and Dustin took Texas Tech on that. So we both win that one. The over under was 57.5 points. Dustin predicted 34-20 as his final. So he hits that. Yeah, so he hits that under. I had 38-20. I went over. So Dustin 2-0 on that. First half was Tech plus two. We both went Texas Tech on that, won that one. And the highest scoring quarter, which ended up being interesting. I won this one. Dustin went with the second quarter, which had 6 points scored. And I went with the fourth quarter, which had 31 points scored. So we go washed on our bets. You win the over-under. Yeah. I win the prop highest scoring quarter bet. So, all right, before we shift our focus to the upcoming game against Houston, it is time to open up Club Red for the victory. So somebody play some damn music.
Somebody turn on some damn music!
All right, Dustin, Club Red is open for the first Big 12 victory of the season, for the fourth victory of the season. Offensive side of the ball, who you going with?
I'm going to give mine to Cam Dickey in his rushing game. 13 for 67, two touchdowns, and one of the highlights of the game to help bust it open. Looks like he was stopped in the middle and then all of a sudden squeaks around and bounces out and goes for a 20-yard touchdown. That helped bust this thing open. So he gets in with that good rushing. And you were able to run the ball very well against this really good D-line of Utah.
Yeah, I thought it was another impressive thing from the offensive line was their ability to let these guys run. And that play was one of those funny ones where I was in the park, kind of looked down, looked like Cam Dickey got stuffed, took my eyes off, looked back, and he was in the end zone. I was like, wait, what happened? So I had to rewind that one, catch that one. Impressive run by him. I got to go with the easy one here, Will Hammond. I mean, coming in, close game, on the road, tough environment against this Utah team, and is able to put the gas, step on the gas, and just get the job done for the Red Raiders. Leading us to three touchdown drives and a field goal drive to get us to that 34-10 victory. So Will Hammond gets the nod here for me for our offensive Club Red VIP. Now to the defensive side of the ball, we've got some options here. Dustin, which way are you going? I know there's one pretty obvious option, but I know there's several other guys who deserve to be mentioned here as well.
I want to actually kind of go off the radar here and give my defense one to the special teams.
I was going to say we're going to open up for the special teams too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, great. We'll mention them in a little bit then. J-Rod had a great game already, but Bryce Pollock, like who got our fumbles here? I can't even find them all.
Bryce Pollock got the interception.
Yeah, I'll go with Bryce Pollock. I thought he had a good game. Locking down at the corner position with the limited passing game we had out there.
Yep, and got his third interception of the season. Two straight games with the interception for him. I'm going to go with J-Rod, the layup on this one. I mean, just everywhere. He's why – that's the game you watch and you're like, yeah, that's the Big 12 player of the year, doing a little bit of everything, making plays, and he's not even the most badass person in his family, because his wife is a Black Hawk flyer.
They showed her a lot
today. And so just real impressive performance from him. Because the special teams were awesome too. Everybody, it was the full squad was out there. We got to give the special teams a nod. So go ahead and let you give your special
list
teams
off
VIP.
Special teams for you.
Yeah.
Kicking game. Stone Harrington with some stones out there. Stones. Had a 58-yarder to shut up Joel Klatt. Said he didn't have it in.
Take that, Joel Klatt.
Massive kick. Made all his field goals there. 2 for 2 in that game. And then the punting game was actually low-key good, too.
Yeah.
Because we needed that with getting turnovers, shooting ourselves in the foot. We got the ball at, like, I kept calling it the plus 45 so many times, and then we wouldn't do anything with it. Well, Jack Burgess would come in. He'd pin him inside the 10. Almost every time. And that's huge for when you're playing a field position game for three quarters.
Yeah, I pinned him at the one time. Had that real nice punt that made the highlight package what they post out. So, yeah, I wanted to give those guys a shout out as well because that field goal was awesome, 58 yards. Stone Harrington, I think he's maybe cemented himself as the starting field goal kicker after his performance this past Saturday.
Yeah.
Jack Burris getting some. He hasn't had a whole lot of run this season so far, so it was nice to see him get some work done and do a good job with it. So shout out to everybody who made the Club Red VIPs for the win at Utah. And now the bye week has passed. Texas Tech has won the bye week. We moved up from number 12 to number 11. And now we shift our focus to the Houston Cougars who come to we head to Houston. To face off with at 6 p.m. on Saturday. Been so used to Houston coming to Lubbock, I just always assume that when we're playing them in football, they're coming here. But we are headed there on the road for a matchup against two undefeated teams in conference so far. Houston undefeated, pulling out a close one against Oregon State, a team that you demolished. They pulled out an overtime victory over Oregon State last Friday night. So licking our chops a little bit, I think, on this one. Dustin, what are your thoughts as the Red Raiders get set to face the Houston Cougars?
Yeah, I can't wait to play them after watching them struggle last Friday night against a team we handled very well. Yeah. And really, Oregon State was up in this game for pretty much the entire game till the very end.
They lost it.
Yeah, they lost it. Had some special teams blunders because probably that backup snapper situation that they dealt with here kind of cost them a little bit there. And but if you're comparing Oregon State should have beat Houston, that just makes me feel great about what we're getting into. So I can't wait to get down there and play them Saturday night. And in an environment that's going to be a lot of Tech fans.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very curious to see just how many Tech fans, because, you know, the times that we played there recently, we haven't been, like, really good. And this is the best Tech team we've had in a long time. And so I'm sure there's lots of fans in the Houston, Austin, that whole area that are like, hey, here's my chance to go to a game. I was talking to somebody on the phone from work the other day, and he lives in Houston, and he's like, "Oh, I can't wait. This is my one opportunity, so I'm going to be there Saturday."
Good.
I'm like, let's go. So, like, some random dude I never met before. And so, yeah, I'm excited. I bet a lot of Tech fans are going to show out. It's not even that big of a stadium to begin with. Houston fans aren't even known to begin with. So I'm sure it's not going to be a crazy home field advantage for them. They're wearing their powdered blues.
We do have a great uniform game here because we're also wearing red.
Is that confirmed or is that just the game day graphic? Because, like, I don't know if that's confirmed.
That's just
the game day graphic because they post, like, the graphics like that. It doesn't always mean that's what you're wearing. Although it would look great if we were wearing that.
It would be a great uniform game if we do. But, yeah, we love the Houston Powder Blues from basketball season, at least.
They've been kind to us in the past. But yeah, I was definitely watching some of that Houston Oregon State game going, oh man, if their defensive line was causing problems for Houston, we'll wait till they get our defensive line up against them. And so I definitely feel pretty confident in us in this one, which makes me nervous because every time I've been confident about Tech, like but this is a different team. That's a different experienced team, I believe.
And you might think, all right, well, we had a bye week. You know, teams are good. Well, last year we weren't good off a bye week. Baylor came in here and kicked our ass.
Oh.
But, like you said, this is a much different team, much more mature team, a team with their goals and eyes on a way different prize.
Yeah.
And they're not just trying to get by on every Saturday game. They're trying to demolish and put out good film and get drafted and make the playoffs. Like, this is a different level of team, and I think the leaders on this team, they're not going to let you come out cold or get whooped in this one.
Yeah, I firmly believe that as well. I just think, like, these guys watching them, like, I legit think, like, they were so pissed that they finally gave up a touchdown, and then after that, they would just went, like, I don't know how many yards Utah gained after that touchdown that they had, but it felt like they were just going backwards every time they got the ball. And it was like, oh, this game's over. As soon as their offense would step on the field, the defense just turned it up a notch. So I just expect, just watching that performance, I just feel so confident in what they can do on the defensive side of the ball that, to me, it doesn't even really matter what you do on the offensive side of the ball. You could be great, you could be average, but what your defense is giving you is just going to give you a lot of opportunities to get some turnovers, give your offense some extra possessions, and see what you can do with it. I expect Barron in this offense to not super struggle against this Houston defense. I just don't really see a matchup that scares me in this game. What about you? Like, defensively going up against this offense, maybe a little bit of a better passer in Connor Wigman than Devin Dampier. But weapons-wise, I mean, they're running back for a transfer from Rice. Their best lineman right now is a guy we did not want on our team.
Yeah.
I can't name one of their receivers, mainly because I haven't looked at their roster, but like, just not a lot of weapons that scare me on that offense.
Yeah, Wegman's good. A&M five-star transfer. He's a solid thrower. He's going to be more your sit back there and try to throw the ball rather than your Dampier scramble type. Yeah, Dean Connors doesn't scare me rushing the ball, especially against our front linebackers.
Dean Connors is the most like college football 25 name for a running back like ever.
It's like when you get into that first season of recruiting, yeah, and it's like, oh, who's that? Dean Connors, four-star running back.
It's when you start getting the white running backs and white cornerbacks, and then your kicker is a black kicker. And
it's like, black punter. I mean, yeah, their receivers, no one's like, oh my God. I mean, don't let them get over our heads, kind of like Utah almost did a couple times, and like, we're probably fine. I mean, his favorite target's his tight end.
Yeah.
Like, 23 for 234 and a couple touchdowns. And so, like, I mean, he's got 6 receiving touchdowns on the season for the team. We're 4 games in, guys.
Yeah. And
we have 6 touchdowns.
And who's he going to be matching up with? Probably John Curry, who's like, I mean, one of the best defensive.
That's the thing, though. We don't have to stick one person on him.
Right, yeah.
We can get Cole Wisnowski down on him. Jacob Rodriguez can probably guard him sometime. Like, we can just sit in defense and be like, all right, who's closest? All right, John, you got him this play. We don't have to match is what's good about us. So, like, yeah, there are the two guys, like Steven Johnson. He's more your speedster. Don't let him get loose, basically. And Amari Thompson, he's their other decent guy. So, like, that's it. This is not Case Keenum and company rolling out there to torch you up. And, like, I mean, I'm not scared of anything. I have a pretty low number for our prediction coming up.
Yeah, they just don't scare me. And a lot of it's going to be just because I watched what they did against Oregon State. They beat a Colorado team that doesn't look really all that good.
No.
Their other games, they beat Rice and SFA. Whoa. Like, okay, you know. So
you beat SFA 27-0. Like,
dude, I think it's so funny. I've seen some Houston fans like bitching that they weren't ranked. I'm like, come on, man. Like, you haven't beat anybody, and then you almost lost to an 0-4 Oregon State team. Like, I mean, and to give Oregon State credit, they've actually played, like, they've played good teams. They played us, Oregon, Cal. I can't remember who else they played, but they played good teams. But at the same time, it's like, you know, when you're barely surviving against Oregon State and your other wins are against not good teams, you're not going to get that love.
You also mentioned, I almost forgot about it. The other part of it is, like, Wegman went for 2-7 against Oregon State. Okay, that's decent. I don't think you had Romello Height and David Bailey and Lee Hunter and A.J. Holmes coming at you, especially when, like, Dalton Merriman's going to have a bad day Saturday.
Like, yes.
He had every opportunity to be your starting left or right tackle for 3 years here, and he just could never produce and win the job and couldn't do anything for you and basically got booted out the door, you know, to bring in a guy like Howard Sampson. So, like, kind of funny that we get to face him with this stacked D line. And
good luck, buddy.
I will be watching that a lot.
Yeah. I hope he gets a lot, Like, I hope it's, you know, five snaps of David Bailey, five snaps of Romello, five, just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
He's not even going to see Romello Hunt's go around. He's going to be like,
he's like, where is he? Wait, did he snap the ball? Yeah.
The guy's fast.
Yeah, I just don't have a lot of fears. I just don't have a lot of fears about this game. And that's what makes me nervous. It's because, it's the wounds, Dustin. It's the wounds from the last 10-plus years of Texas Tech football
that have gotten me.
I'm like, every time I start really believing in football, but this is a different team, and you can feel it. You can see it. You could see it this past Saturday. We felt it. You know, I do want to go back, like, kind of kudos to us. We both really saw that game kind of playing out the way it did when you look at our predictions. You know, you had 34-20, you had 38-20. We gave Utah a little too much credit.
Yep.
But we were pretty, you know, you predicted our score on the dot, 34. I had 38. We both saw our offense doing what they did. I think I underestimated how good our defense was, just because we hadn't seen them do it against a team like that. So, very interesting. As we head into our second straight road game before the Red Raiders get to head back to the 806. So let's do our tailgate bets for the week. The spread, Texas Tech, last I checked, 11.5 point favorites. Yeah, I think it opened at like 8.5 and then immediately like jumped up real fast.
Put that out at 8.5 to begin with. I was
Shout out to you if you got Tech. If you got Tech at 8.5, I'm really jealous, because I
would have put so much money on that if I had a chance. Like, goodness gracious, that's 11.5 is even ridiculous. I'm honestly taking Texas Tech here. I don't care.
Yeah. I'm taking us as well. I think this is easily 2-3 score game, like at worst. Worst. It's a 2-3 touchdown game. So we're both taking Texas Tech minus 11.5. First half spreads minus 6.5. I'm assuming we're both taking us on that as well.
You bet.
Yeah.
I bet we have that covered quick.
Yeah, just got to win one by one touchdown in the first half.
We have that covered, and don't let it up.
All right. The over under 50.5 points. I think the spreads are adjusting to the fact that our defense is not giving up a lot of points.
That's fine.
And so I think they are making that adjustment there, but you're going over?
I'm going over. I still love our offense too, though.
All right. What's your prediction?
Like you said, I got some big numbers here.
All right.
And a little number. Texas Tech 51 to 17. I think we go in there and whop them.
I'm also going over. I'm going 42 to 10.
Yes. Nice.
And I'm going to say
30-plus point wins.
My bold prediction will be that touchdown comes against our like second team in the fourth quarter. Wow. Or third team in the fourth quarter.
Treating this like Oregon State and Kent State.
Yeah.
Nice. I love that.
That's love my that. Prediction. I just don't think their offense doesn't scare me. And they have a way worse line than what Utah had. And Utah probably had nightmares about.
Yeah, Dalton Merriman is not a first-round draft pick like Utah had. And
I can see the future.
Bad time.
Bomani Jones used to do this segment. I don't really listen to him anymore, but he used to do this segment where he would have guys who like called in and they would say what made them quit football.
I can see
the future in like 2-3 years. It's Dalton Merriman. He's like, man, I had to play these dudes from Texas Tech after I transferred from there.
Three first round picks on their line.
And after that, I said, after I transferred from there, and I said, you know what? I'm done. I can see the future in that being a story told. That's my bold prediction from this game. Prop bet, first field goal made, Houston or Texas Tech. I don't have us kicking a field goal in this game. I think we're just going to score touchdowns. So I'm taking Houston because they're the only ones that are going to kick a field goal.
I'll take us in that just because I think we're going to score more and have more scoring chances.
Yeah. I'm just going to have a score and a touchdown every time.
But yeah.
Yeah. So I got 42. So
that's a good one.
Yeah. unless we get a couple field goals and a 2-point conversion or something like that, which we're known to do. Kenny Perry, he likes to throw a 2-point conversion out there every now and then.
Hey, I saw Iowa State run the swinging gate, lateral that we used to run the last couple of years. So,
yeah, we haven't brought that out this season. So I'm sure it's coming at some point. But we're saving it for, saving it for like Arizona State or something. All right, so those are our predictions. Texas Tech, we're pretty much on everything Tech once again. Spread, Texas Tech -11.5. That is me and Dustin both taking that. Over and under 50.5. We are both going over. Dustin with a prediction of 51-17. I'm predicting 42-10. First half spread, Texas Tech -6.5. Me and Dustin both going with Texas Tech -6.5. First field goal made, I'm going with Houston. Dustin is going with Texas Tech. So that covers our tailgate bets for Texas Tech versus Houston. Anything else Tech football related you want to get out this week before we move on to our final shots?
I don't think so. Got some recruits that were in their top 8 or 10 or whatever their number is that might be coming out soon. So keep your eye on the Twitter sphere for that because, man, the recruiting trail is hot.
It's hot. There's, a big DT who's supposed to make an announcement relatively soon that we're favored for. There's a number one quarterback in the
quarterback and cornerback.
Quarterback, yeah. A QB and a CB that we're both in the mix for. So something to keep your eyes on. And we're getting close to basketball, too. Basketball's 30-something days away. So
I think SPC plays at the end of October.
Yeah. So we're ramping up the Texas Tech sports here, which is a good time. So before we get out of here, final shots for the week. Dustin, what you got?
I'm not going to give you much of an NFL rundown, just that we lost two pretty good wide receivers yesterday or this weekend. Tyreek Hill might be done for his career with that kind of knee leg injury at a, already towards back half of his career and really mess up his leg and knee. And then Malik Nabers
seemed super excited about it. It was odd.
Yeah, I think he was just on adrenaline and So that was ugly though. Your leg's not supposed to point that way.
Nope.
And then Malik Nabers tore his ACL as well. And I feel for all the people that had both of them on their fantasy teams. That would suck.
Pretty brutal stretch of injuries it feels like over
this
the
weekend,
last few
they
weeks
finally kind of started to bubble up, I feel like.
Yeah, so tough times in the fantasy world for wide receivers. Two good ones going down over the weekend. The Chiefs seemingly maybe got their mojo back, dominating the Ravens, or the Ravens maybe their
the Ravens fell apart literally.
They're literally like all their guys are injured. It's like
at one point, so you're probably still in Florida or whatever. They had 6 of their starters out for the game.
Yeah.
On defense. Crazy. Like, that's bad.
And Lamar ended up leaving the game because I got that notification that, all of a sudden Cooper Rush is a Raven. I didn't even know he was a Raven.
He looks weird in the purple and whatnot.
Yeah.
The other funny thing, I saw a tweet today. You could have Shador Sanders making his first start this weekend if he would have went to the Ravens. But no, we don't want to be the backup to Lamar or Jalen Hurts.
I'll go be the fourth stringer in Cleveland.
Look at that.
Go back up Joe Flacco. Gross. Smart decisions made by that guy. My final shot will be the baseball playoffs have started today.
Yes.
It's exciting as a Red Sox fan. Yeah, we are back in the playoffs after several years not making the playoffs. We made a wild card spot, beat the Yankees tonight in game one of the wild card in a stressful bottom of the ninth inning where it was weird. We were winning 3-1. They loaded the bases with no outs and had Giancarlo Stanton up to the plate. I was terrified.
Yikes.
I put my rally cap on, even though we were winning. I'm like, we got a rally from this. And somehow we were able to get 3 strikeouts to close that game. And the Red Sox take a 1-0 lead. So playoff
baseball. I didn't know Aroldis Chapman was on the Red Sox.
Yes. I haven't really watched the Red Sox. I've been keeping up with like all the games and all the stuff through like Twitter. So I've been very like, know what's going on. Just haven't had the time to sit down and watch a game. So I was able to watch the one tonight. I forgot that playoff baseball feeling, you know, the nerves that you get in the ninth inning when your closer gives up a hit. You got a small lead. It's just
yeah, it's
all
rough.
And you got Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton going up to the plate. Anyway, but that'll be my final shot for the week. And that will be it for us here at Tailgate Talks for this week. We hope that you guys have great weekends ahead. Enjoy watching some Texas Tech football in Houston. Hopefully those Red Raiders get the job done like we expect them to in Houston this week. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace. Tailgate Talks is brought to you by OpenDriveway.com. I stumbled across a website the other day and thought it'd be a cool thing to shout out here. So anyone living near Tech Terrace or around campus, there's a new website called OpenDriveway.com. OpenDriveway.com lets you rent out your driveway to students looking for parking or people looking for parking near campus, near the Jones on game day, near United Supermarkets Arena for graduations, game days, anything like that. Spots around Tech are always packed, and this is an easy way to make some extra cash without lifting a finger. If you've got an open driveway, go to OpenDriveway.com today to start hosting and start earning.